Grammar Girl here. This week, Grammar Girl is sponsored by Membean Word Learning. That's M-E-M-B-E-A-N. I think learning new words is fun, but when you're studying for a test, the sheer number of words you need to know can seem overwhelming. But Membean equips students with the vocabulary they need to excel in schools, tests, and life. Every word is brought to life in 7 unique ways, and a memory engine ensures you never forget what you've learned. Give the gift of words to every teen in your life for as little as $20. Visit membean.com/gg to buy it as a gift or get it for your classroom free. That's membean.com/gg, M-E-M-B-E-A-N. And now it's time for part 2 of our 2-part series on active and passive voice. This is the last of the really advanced topics I'll be doing for a while. We're going to get back to basics in the new year when we get a lot of new listeners, so relish this one last chance to learn some hardcore grammar for a while. Last week, I said that to really understand passive voice, we need to know what active voice is. A common definition of active voice is that the verb's subject is performing the action, or in linguistic terms, that the subject has the agent role. Although this is often true, by that definition, sentences such as "they suffered and died" and "something happened" would incorrectly be classified as passive. I spent the rest of that episode giving a more accurate definition of active voice, and if you didn't catch last week's podcast, you'll definitely want to listen to it before you listen to this one. Last week, I talked about various semantic roles, including agent, patient, recipient, and experiencer, and gave examples of verbs in the active voice whose subjects weren't agents. Now, once you know about active voice, the definition for passive voice is pretty simple. It's a verb form that meets 2 requirements. First, it must have a past participle, such as loved or given. And second, its subject fills a different semantic role than in the active voice. Some examples will show how this definition works. Take the active voice clause, "Steve loves Amy." In this clause, the subject Steve has the role of experiencer. He's the one who loves. Amy has the role of stimulus, the one who produces this emotion in Steve. Now let's put that sentence in passive voice. Amy is loved by Steve. We have the past participle, loved, first criteria met. The subject is now Amy. And Amy fills not the experiencer role, but the stimulus role. So this clause meets both requirements, a past participle and a subject linked to a different role than the active voice subject. What about the active voice clause, "We gave Squiggly lots of gifts"? The subject "we" fills the agent role. The indirect object, Squiggly, has the role of recipient. And the direct object, lots of gifts, has the role of patient. To make this clause passive, we need the past participle, given, and a subject that plays some role other than agent. We could make it passive by giving it a patient as the subject, as in, lots of gifts were given to Squiggly. Or we could make it passive by giving it a subject that fills the recipient role, as in, Squiggly was given lots of gifts. Now let's try "Mary Jane is swimming." This clause is in the active voice, and its subject, Mary Jane, is the agent. We can't make it passive. There is no role other than agent to put with the past participle swum. We can't put "Roscoe died" into the passive voice either. The subject is realizing the only semantic role this verb has, the patient. There is no other role for the subject to be linked to for a passive voice rephrasing. What "swim" and "die" illustrate is that you just can't make an intransitive verb passive. They're always in the active voice. This is important because writers or speakers are sometimes unjustly criticized for using the passive voice in sentences like, "an accident occurred." It may be true that saying "an accident occurred" allows someone to be vague or evasive about who caused the accident, but grammatically, it's definitely in the active voice. Often, definitions of passive voice say that the past participle has to follow some form of the verb be. The examples we've seen, "Amy is loved by Steve" and "Squiggly was given lots of gifts," certainly meet that definition. However, that definition overlooks less typical examples of passive voice. For example, there are passives that use the linking verb get, as in, shall be got caught. Here's another passive that doesn't use a form of the verb be. In We Had the House Painted Last Summer, the past participle painted describes the house, but the house isn't the one doing the painting, it's the thing getting painted. Another example is, I want this room cleaned by the time I get home. The past participle cleaned describes this room, but the room won't be doing the cleaning, it'll be undergoing the cleaning. Passive voice is not bad grammar. It's not even necessarily bad style. In fact, it's often good style. Overusing it can weaken your writing, but that's true of about any writing device you can think of. Knowing what is and is not passive voice, you can make better decisions about how you want to use it. Thanks again to Membean, which is an amazing way to learn words. Visit membean.com/gg. If you're a parent or teacher, you've got to check out Membean. Your kids will never see words the same way again. This podcast was written by Neil Whitman, who has a PhD in linguistics and blogs at literalminded.wordpress.com. Check him out, and you can find a complete transcript of this podcast at quickanddirtytips.com. That's all. Thanks for listening. The podcast closing song is March 4th, the official National Grammar Day theme song, and it's available at iTunes.